This is Helderberg FM 93.6. Time now is 16 minutes past 10. And every Monday on Helderberg Cares, we feature an organization that is doing great work to assist the most vulnerable in our community. And today is certainly no exception. So let me just paint the picture. Last week, I read the following in a news bulletin. And it was about the Western Cape Social Development Department appealing to parents who are not coping with raising their children to be in contact with either a clinic, a local office, or a designated nonprofit, and warning that dumping a baby remains a crime, and that according to statistics, between April and December of last year, 26 children were abandoned, either left on a field or in a bin, which is absolutely heartbreaking. So I reached out to Sandy Immelman of Baby Saver Helderberg, and she suggested that I rather speak to Sophia Warner and Pumi Williams, and they join me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Sophia. Good morning, Pumi.
Good morning.
So let me just, first of all, let me start off by saying that last week, the seventh precious little life was saved via the Baby Saver. And that there is also a Baby Saver in Makassar, and it is done absolutely anonymous, and a very, very brave mother or family member decided to give this little baby a chance instead of dumping them in a bin. Sophia, the Baby Saver, it's seven lives over how many years so far?
The Baby Saver was started in 2014.
Okay.
When little baby Amber was found under the bridge in Somerset West.
I see.
And Sandy Immelman and Judith Cross got together and decided there was something, we had to put something in place.
Absolutely.
So I joined them a couple of years after that. And there is a team of first responders.
Yeah.
So we are phoned if there is a baby in there. So seven babies. Lives have been saved because
absolutely.
Of the saver.
Come a little bit closer to the mic for me, sorry.
That's okay.
It's heartbreaking. We were speaking off air. It's heartbreaking to think that people, that they don't have an option, that they feel that they don't have an option. They get to a point where this little baby, either they can't feed, they can't cope, whatever the reasons are, and that they are willing to leave a child in a bin doesn't paint a really good picture of what our society is like and how we assist women or parents, grandparents, foster parents who find themselves in that situation. What can be done? And I know that you guys have come together to actually go beyond or sort of take the problem or the challenge rather to its beginnings and not when we have a life that needs to be saved. Tell us, I'm going to speak to Pumi just now, but Sophia, tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. In South Africa, there is no safe haven law.
So, which means
that if you abandon your baby, mm-hmm. either safely or unsafely, mm-hmm. you are liable for prosecution.
So does that mean that the Baby Saver is illegal, in inverted commas?
Technically a little bit illegal, as are the other 40 plus baby savers in South Africa.
Do you think that this is part of the challenge, that people who are feeling that they simply know that they've got nowhere to go to, literally? If there was a safe haven law, do you think it would make things simpler, easier, more accessible?
Certainly. Okay. I think if mothers who are in a crisis situation, if they knew that there was a safe place, either a police station or a Baby Saver or a clinic or even in the hospital, if they knew they could safely relinquish their baby at that point,
yes,
it would certainly impact on the statistics of unsafe relinquishments, babies who are dumped and die. You know, I think last year the statistics were that almost half of the babies who were abandoned unsafely died.
It's
critical that we do something now.
Yeah.
The Helderberg Baby Saver is part of an umbrella coalition of organisations, and they have a petition at the moment, Baby Savers South Africa. So they are petitioning government on changing the law,
yeah.
putting in place a safe haven law, and then also informing communities that...
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of support structures out there to help people in crisis situations.
Yeah.
I think they just don't know that now.
Absolutely. Pumi, let me bring you in here. You're from Katani. Briefly, yes. What is Katani?
Katani is Katani Women Wellness.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organization that we've just started, myself, Sophie, and Amanda.
Okay.
Because we have seen the need, especially in our communities, in the health of extorting.
Yes.
Even though we know that even throughout South Africa, the need whereby the women, women are not informed.
Okay.
Especially the teenagers, the teenage girls, there is pregnancies that are unplanned, even the unplanned, the planned ones. You find out that after the teenager is pregnant, they don't have options.
Mm.
They don't know what to do. There is a lot of judgmental perspective in the families, in the community, where by the end, the teenage mother doesn't know what to do with the baby. And then they end up now abandoning the children because also with that, there is no information about that. So as Ketani, we are now starting with the preventative measures and also giving workshops so that we can be able to take away all those stereotypes. There's stereotypes in the families. People, you find out that even the teenagers, they don't even know they are still young on their own to start with. And then for them now to have this, the teenager who is pregnant, even it becomes the challenge to the parents because also the parents are not also informed.
Yes.
And in many communities, we get now a mother or female-headed families or child-headed families, whereby also in that scenario, those children, they don't know what to do. And then now Ketani, that's where we come in, doing the workshops, doing the preventative measures, teaching the young mothers, giving them the opportunity to choose so that as Ketani, we can be able to assist their choices and then give them
Absolutely.
The platform to be able to have also the shoulder to lean on because the support structure is also not so adequate for them.
I mean, I just think, you know, raising a child is first of all, having a baby is a huge change to a person's life. I cannot imagine being a teenager who simply, all you want to do is be with your friends. Yeah, you go to school, you've got to study, and suddenly you are a child yourself who's got to look after a child. It must be an absolutely, it must be completely terrifying. Because that's where I see it. And then if you can't cope, you know, what to do with that child or how to cope must be very, very frightening. Pumi, do you find that there are cultural and religious challenges or aspects that also play into this?
Yes, the cultural side is a lot. It's a lot because the child gets rejected. Even with the community at large.
Yes.
And then now I see the religious side of the things, they pitching in, whereby you find that there are churches who would help in raising maybe the child. However, it's not as deep as now looking at the awareness of the person, of the teenager, because there is a lot of things that are surrounding that teenage girl. They still have to go back to school.
Yes.
They still have to come back and be the mother. They still have to go to SASSA to apply for the grant for the child. There's a lot.
There's grown-up things they've got to deal
there's
with.
There's a lot.
A lot of grown-up things.
And most of the time, find out they can't handle even psychological.
I see.
And then now I can see also that's where now it links now to the baby saver because now they get at Ketani the informed advices on how, what is it, what's the step after this. And then on the cultural side, the workshops that Ketani is going to bring up, is going to bring up and break all those taboos.
Absolutely.
So that there can be the relationship that can be mended between the communities within the children and the whole setup of the family. Because I've got this belief that once the family setup is broken, the whole nation is doomed.
I think so. And I think that, you know, that's the central, the core of anything. It's the core relationship that we have is, you know, is there. Mandy of Patch is also involved. And and they, Sophie, let me direct this. They see the extreme of parents who are not coping. Do you think that this is that the preventative thing is, it clearly is the way to go to assist young women in knowing that they've got a choice and how to withstand peer pressure?
Absolutely. I think with Mandy's knowledge coming from Patch, which deals with child victims of rape, Pumi's knowledge of the community and cultural side, my knowledge of the Baby Saver, it's really putting the three together. And the only way we can start out is with preventative work.
Yeah, I agree.
We can't fix the problem later.
Yeah.
We need to start at the beginning before it even happens.
And I think that's the key thing, because once that little life is there and you've now got to find an option for it, it must be a heartbreaking way to grow up knowing that you were effectively abandoned. For a child to grow up knowing that they were not clearly wanted must be devastating for that future adult as well.
Mm. I think there are cases, though, that certainly the babies that have come through the Baby Saver have been left there and placed there with love.
Mm.
They have been well cared for up until the point where they were relinquished.
Mm.
They often come wrapped in blankets and in beautifully clean and sometimes left with items. So I think the abandonment is not a case of not being wanted.
Okay.
I think it's a case of I can't cope, and therefore I will leave my baby with someone who might be able to cope.
Absolutely.
So I would say the majority of our cases, definitely, there has been mothers make that decision out of love. I'm very sure.
Yeah. I think so too. And I think it's just so heartbreaking. I get chills every time I say that, because it must be, we were talking off air saying that every time you see a baby, you know, you ooh and you ah and you want to cuddle, and that's all I feel is I just want to do that. So I really do feel for a woman or a person who decides that that's what they need to do, because it is heartbreaking.
Sure.
If anybody wants to assist, know how to access this, how can they get hold of you? Because I'm sure it's going to take people, and it's going to take money, donations, things like that. Anybody listening, how can they assist you? How can they get hold of you?
Well, Katani, we're still waiting for our NPO number.
Okay.
We are brand new, so we are a new baby ourselves.
So
when we get our NPO number and we can open a bank account, we will then be at that point ready to say, okay, we can receive donations. Before then, if anyone wants to contact me, my email, can I give my email address?
Yes, please do.
Is Sophia Warner, S-O-P-H-I-A, Warner, 22@gmail.com. So anyone interested in supporting either the Baby Saver or Katani in any way, we'd really welcome any support now.
Absolutely. I think this is a wonderful initiative. I think that it is the way to go, because I think prevention and speaking to the root of the challenge that one faces in society. And I think that also the upliftment of people, the education, the giving them the knowledge to make an informed decision about themselves, to withstand peer pressure from groups, is so vitally important. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. I enjoyed this conversation, and please come back to us when you get that
yes.
NPO.
Yes.
I'd love to chat to you guys again. So Pumi Williams of Katani and Sophie Warner of Pebbles Project, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you so much. Yeah. If they want also to follow us, they can follow us on Facebook.
Oh, cool. Yes, absolutely.
Katani. Yes, we've got the Facebook page, even though it's still very new, but they can follow us there.
Perfect. And how is Katani spelled?
K-H-E. T-H-A-N-I.
N-I. Fantastic. You see, and I wouldn't have spelt it like that, so it's best that I asked. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure.